Now, we have been going through what we believe. We've been taking a look at sort of the Apostles' Creed, sort of foundational, right? Well, what actually does it mean to be a Christian, right? Going back 2,000 years was written the Apostles' Creed, the basic doctrines of the Christian belief. But this being Easter, I wanted to take an opportunity to break from that. And it's interesting, about a month or so ago, I was praying, Lord, you know, what would you have me speak on? And all I could come back was this thought of, he kept the scars. And which it seems like an odd sermon. Typically we talk about Mary going to the tomb and the stone being rolled away and he's not there and all those events that go along with it. But the more I started going through and preparing, it just spoke to me. And I hope that you're here this morning and the Lord brought you here to hear this message. Because you come with the idea of scars. And I don't know about you, but I have a body riddled with scars. And each scar tells a story. I have a scar on my leg. When we were kids, we were playing karate. Does anyone remember? There used to be an old TV show, Kung Fu. And there's a scene where he's like, wah! And so us kids were doing that and in the woods. And I did it down a hill, landed in a stick, decided to go up about 3 inches into my leg. And I have a nice scar from that. I have a scar on my side, working for the garbage company. And I was going around a dumpster and squeezed around to get the hook where it needed to go. And out was sticking this piece of metal about this far and just sliced my side. I got one in my face that always reminds me of my sister. She hit me with a stick. And her, I don't think she listens to online, so, but her last words were, don't tell mom. And I'm like, that's flap is hanging down. It's like, I think she'll notice. I have a scar on my hand that has, I don't know how many stitches on it. And when I was 5 years old, I went to the garbage and picked up the top of I think it was a soup can, and sliced my hand to the tendons. And I always tell people this is my million-dollar hand. My dad was in the military at the time, and he took me to the base. He threw me in the back of his car, drove to the base, and went. So I went to a military hospital. They actually flew a neurologist up from Dallas to work on my hand, and I have 24 hours of surgery on this hand. And I still can't play guitar, but I never could. I use that as an excuse. But it's interesting because, you know, I have this scar and I really don't have it. It itches once in a while. My pinky does a weird little twitch if I move it a certain way, but, you know, I have all my feelings, and I've talked to people who just had a cut and lost feelings. You know, each of our scars reflects a hurt, a pain, or a trauma in our lives. And those are just the physical scars that we have. Sometimes we carry around a lot of emotional scars. And sometimes I don't realize even I had them until I get a little bit older. And I was just talking to someone about having a poor relationship with your father. And I said, I've shared with that with you guys that my father abandoned us, and I grew up really just wanting my dad to love me and not realizing how hurtful that is. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yeah. It's amazing some of the things you've been told and some you've been said, you know, even in my great age that I am, still haunts me of some of the things that I remember that was said. Some of the names I was called, I kind of just stuck. I grew up in a real hard-nosed fundamentalist church. And if you ever, I love it here because we do a Bible study on Wednesday night, which is open up for anyone. I'd love to have you all on Wednesday, kind of casual, sit around. We question and answers. We have snacks. And it's a good time to kind of get into God's Word. It's really casual. But I'll talk about something, about churches that did this or someone who's that. And I get a whole bunch of blank looks like, oh, what? That never. It's like, praise the Lord, you haven't gone through some of that. Because sometimes people can get hurt in the name of Jesus. And those leave scars. And to go through your life and to accumulate more and more of them. I know some of you, I always say, you know, the major scars, you know, you get, you know, I joke around that by, you know, another 3 years we'll have a whole new congregation because you guys keep swapping out parts, you know. And you got one guy, you know, so many times it was opened up, they should just put a zipper in. Because these major scars in our lives. And we look forward to that idea of heaven. Because the Bible tells us that those who are in Christ, those who accept Him as their Lord and Savior, that He promises that where He is, you will be there also. He says that you'll be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Isaiah gives a foreshadowing of this. It says, for behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. The day where all these scars will be taken care of. We will not bear those marks anymore. Both on our bodies, or in our hearts, or in our souls. You know, I think we've gotten so used to this world and so used to the hurt and pain and disappointment and betrayal, all those things. I think if you really stop and think for a moment, what would a world be like without any of those things? And it's almost hard to imagine, isn't it? Because it's just, you know, the closest I can liken it to is, I don't know if you ever watch, you know, these Lifestyle Rich and Famous or, in our house, they'll do these fixer house things, and you watch, and someone, I cracked up, you know, oh, we just bought a $2 million house, and they buy it to gut it out because nothing's good enough in it. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, everything they're ripping out, like, I'll take that, right? I'll take your leftover garbage, it's nicer than what I got, you know? And they install all this, and I'm just like, I can't even comprehend sometimes the money and the wealth that goes into, right? It's just beyond my scope because I haven't been that way. And what will be heaven? The Bible says, eye hasn't seen or ear heard what the Lord has in store. I think it's just so much beyond. And we talk about the streets of gold and the splendor and the place prepared for me. And we talk about, you know, sort of almost the material things that's in heaven, which will be great. Don't get me wrong. You know, there's no rust in heaven. Walk by my truck and I'm like, oh, I got to do my rocker panels. Right? No rust in heaven. There should be a bigger amen to that. but you know, we think of heaven in a material sense, but think about it. I think the things of this world that hurt us the most, that have its most imprint on us, the results of our sin, the results of our choices, of other people's choices, of what they do, all these things inflict us with scars, both physically and mentally, to try to comprehend a world without that is so a scope beyond what I can grasp. You know, imagine a world where you don't have to seek people's approval. Wow. Where you wonder if someone's telling you the truth or not. If someone has their best interest. Oh, even to restore the idea that you don't have to put up the walls anymore. Because I find the older I get, the more cynical I get. Because I've been hurt a lot. I've been lied to a lot. My generosity's been taken advantage of. My openness has been turned against me. Right? You're in that same world. You know, where your hopes and dreams fall off, like they're falling off the edge of the earth because time just goes on. And yet heaven has none of that. And I look forward to this. God says he will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain. For the former things have passed away. Oh, what a day. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, you have a hope beyond hope. Because all those things will be taken away. Amen? You can amen. That's good stuff. But in the midst of all this, as Jesus rose from the dead, conquered death and shame, conquered the grave, and came forth in his new glorified body. It's interesting because in this new body that he had, which I think is a foretaste of what we're going to have, we see him able to go into a room even though the door was locked. We see him on a road to Emmaus, and all of a sudden he's in Jerusalem. That he's doing things that are outside of what our normal bodies can do. And because of that, he could have chose any form to come back as. You know, if I could pick my body, I would probably pick to be a little bit taller, a little bit thinner, a little more muscle. With a metabolism, I could eat anything I want, right? I mean, if I was picking all my things that... And Jesus had that, being God, who conquered, left, and rose. And yet, we're told he chose to keep the scars. Thomas said, I won't believe unless I can put my hands in his hands and in his side. And when he appeared to Thomas, he said, here. It's interesting, the perfection that we seek, that we go along after, Jesus chose to keep those scars. And I got three reasons that I'm going to speculate this morning. The Bible doesn't tell us straight out why, but I think we can point to some things, so bear with me. But I think the first one is to be connected to us. This is an amazing thing. Because the God of the universe, the creator, the judge of all, loves you. Wow. Right? And not in a superficial way, but so much that he died for you. The book of Psalms says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visited him? You know, I'm not all that. I really don't have anything to offer God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He doesn't need my few dollars. He's all-knowing and all-wise. He doesn't need to know my opinion. He can part the sea or walk on it. But the Bible says he knows your name, how many hairs are on your head. And when you hit my age, it's a changing game. The number changes every day. He knows all this. And the scars, I think, remind us of this fact that he became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's interesting, one of the names Jesus uses for himself is this term, Son of Man. Now, he's the Son of God. His deity of who he is undeniable, that he was God in the flesh. But it's interesting, he chooses his name, Son of Man. He uses it over 80 times. In the New Testament, just in the Gospels. Right? We've talked about this before, and we talked about that terminology of why one won the other, and, you know, we use in our household when my daughter is great and perfect, somehow she's my wife's daughter. Right? Oh, look at what my kid did. And somehow when she does something that's obnoxious or weird or strange or something Marvel or Star Trek related, it's your kid's doing this. And all of a sudden, she's dad's kid. Right? All by association. I find it interesting that Jesus comes down from heaven, God in the flesh, and wants to commune with you and me. He chose a life like us. He came to parents that were poor. who didn't have anything. He grew up as a carpenter's son, not prestige and not famous. The Bible says he traveled and didn't have anywhere to lay his head. And we see all this. He could have had it all, the best of the best, but he didn't. For example, this is Mark, and he began to teach him that the Son of Man must suffer many things. And I think this ties in with the cross. See, because I have sinned and you have sinned, we deserve that punishment. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But Jesus came as man, a perfect man, who had no debt, who had no sin. And he became our sin, that we can become his righteousness. He took our place. He paid my debt. And he began to teach him that the Son of Man, that he would do all these things. And I think he kept the scars to show his humanity throughout eternity. You know, this time here on earth was three and a half years. It depends on what scholar you talk to. That's just a drop in the bucket. It wasn't like he came down and then did his human thing and then went away, that he'd be disassociated with us again. Now that he would forget this time, but here he tells his disciples, "Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see I have." I believe he kept his scars so that he kept his connection with us. Especially now, as we're still hurting. I haven't got my perfect body yet. Someone once told me that after you hit 40, the check engine light comes on and stays on. Sticks and stones still hurt me. Names still hurt. I still suffer loss. You know, I'll be glad in heaven. I will never have to do a single funeral ever again. And Jesus kept the scars and said, "See, it is me." When we come to him, we come boldly before his throne of grace. Right? We talk to a God who's not far away, but who's close enough. Those of us say, see my scars? He draws you in. Now, I don't know if you in the front row can see it. I have a pretty substantial scar, but back there you guys probably can't. So when Jesus says, "Come and see." See, come and see how much I love you. Come and see what I did for you. Well, you can't do that from a distance. God doesn't want to be afar off. He says, "Come." And we're like Isaiah, "But man, I am unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips. Lord, if you've only known what I done. And he goes, "I did, and I died for you. Come and see. I bear my body, your scars. Come." Wow. So we see he connects to us. He kept the scars. Also, it's a reminder of what he did. Right? I just went through a whole lineage of each of my scars. I'm like, "Oh yeah, I remember when I did this. Oh yeah, I remember when someone did this to me." All right. And Jesus' scars are a reminder. Isaiah tells us, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." He was wounded, scarred for you, in your place. All because of our sin, and our sin separates us from God. There's a price to be paid. Bible says this point, man, once dying after this the judgment, that we will have to give an account for our sin of what we did. And Jesus died on the cross and said, "It is finished." He paid the debt that you deserved. That by trusting and believing in him and living for him, When we stand before heaven and they say, why should I let you in? It's not because I'm good, because I'm not. Not because I was perfect, because I'm not. Not because I have a beautiful singing voice, because I don't. I can only come in because of the way it was paid. Think of the old hymn, Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin that lifted crimson saying, he washed me white as snow. See, it's not that I'm good, it's that he is. And because of that, I want to please him, I want to live for him. And I try and I fail, and he says, that's okay. If you forgive your sins, if you confess your sins, he'll forgive it. He goes, child, I don't always like what you do, but I love you. Come and see the scars. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And what a great exchange that is. He took my pain and suffering and gave me his grace and his mercy. In God's eyes, I'm declared righteous. Think about that. You, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and you've come to him, and trust in him, he looks at you and declares you righteous and clean and perfect. And you're like, yeah, but I'm not. But he clothes you with his righteousness and with his goodness. But you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. You don't know where I've been. Jesus says, come and see. Come and see. See those scars? Those are for you. What he did, he forgave us. It says, he who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, whose by stripes you are healed. You know, the fact that he was on the cross and nailed there, and a crown of thorns put upon his head, and he bled, a spear thrust into his side. Prior to that, he was beaten. So much so that they were afraid that he was going to die prior to, and actually unable to carry his cross the last bit on the way, and had to have someone else carry it for him. The extent he took all of that. To pay for everything you've ever done. Greater love has no one than this. He laid down his life for his friends. Wow. See, his time here on earth was just come down for a quick little visit and he's gone. Been there, bought the t-shirt, went back to heaven. He came to die for you and for me. And he kept the scars to remember his forgiveness. You know, it shows me how bad I really am. But then it shows me how great he is. And here is a scene in heaven in chapter 5 of Revelation. And they're gathered around the throne. And they're worshiping him. I imagine that day. I mean, you guys are stuck here listening to me. I apologize. People at home, you know, you can get up and pause and go away, or but you guys are stuck here. But what a day that will be to stand before our Lord and Savior and thank him and worship him with nothing in between. And these are words that were shouted out. It says that him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, I am coming with clouds and every eye will see him, even those who what? Pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. See, the world's rejected him. You don't believe it? Turn on the news for 5 minutes. My heart goes out to the young people today. Because you're preached, there is no hope. There's nothing beyond this life. Grab what makes you happy and run with it. And folks, that's a dead end. Mental health and suicides among young people are so high right now because there is no hope. You've taken God out of public square. And yet, glory be forever to our Lord, who is pierced. You ever doubt that God can forgive you? Come near. Come and see. He has the scars to show that we are healed. Right? We won't have any scars. We are healed. Our scars will be gone. Right? All the ones I point to will be gone. And mine are, you know, all superficial. I know people who have major scars that has disfigured them, who have left them without hands and limbs and feet. Some of them ward. I mean, I think of our veterans who came over, especially Iraq, with the IUDs and of just losing parts of you. We won't have those anymore. We won't have the emotional scars anymore. I don't even know who I'll be. I won't have my issues. And we will be healed. You will be whole. What a day that will be, huh? It's interesting, while Jesus was here, he was healing. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word, and healed all who were sick, that might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness." We talk about, "But by his stripes we are healed." And when Jesus was here, I think he gave us a foretaste of what it's going to be like. That Jesus welcomed all who came to him and healed the multitudes. There was nothing that was too hard for him to heal. That he himself, by his stripes we are healed. He came in our place. And remember that. You know, if you're suffering this morning and you know your scars, you come to Christ and some of them don't go instantly away. But I want to give you hope. Because all who came to him were healed. And you know what? I may carry some of these scars to the grave. Right? You know, if I have an open casket funeral, it's not going to be some prized possession. It's interesting. I joked around with my wife for many years. I said, when I die, just donate my body to science. Right? First, donate all my parts. I'm not going to need them. Give them away to everyone else. I remember when I first got my license, my daughter's getting into this, and so I was getting my license. My mom's like, "Don't sign up for the organ donors. Don't do it." I'm like, "Mom, why not?" She goes, "Listen, if you're kind of iffy and there's someone over here that needs your parts, they might just..." I'm like, "Mom, they wouldn't do that. I'm just saying." You know, we have some nurses here. I don't think it works that way. But my mom was worried, right? You know, if you got, you know, you're on the border and there's like four people who need your parts. I did it anyways. Because I'm like, you know, they can have whatever I have. Well, it's funny, I went through and renewed my license, and they asked me again. You know, they didn't ask me. It's funny, because we're going through, and I'm like, "Well, I'd like to be an organ donor." And the lady looked at me like, I'm like, if I got to the point where my parts are just, no one's going to want it. You know, I'm like, you know, I'd like to be, you know, I'd like to be an organ donor, you know. I mean, if someone has nothing, they need something, right? I'm better than something.
I was like, eh, you know, he's been eating a little too much, a little too much candy. You know, he doesn't exercise much. No. We're just...
But now I know if I'm in the ER and I'm kind of iffy and there's other people, they're getting me plugged in because they're like, we don't need it, right? But, you know, there's going to be a day, and I'm guaranteed that, when those scars will be gone. There's a promise in His scars that you will be whole again. Come and see. So in here, connect this to Him and us. That these scars remind us of what He did for us, and then also His scars are a reason to praise Him. All the reasons we talked about. No one ever loved me like Jesus has. No one ever cared for me like Jesus has. He saved me from myself when I wasn't even trying to. First Corinthians picked up this theme that we talked about. It says, for this corruption must put on incorruption. This is talking about when we get to heaven. This corruption, this body that I have. This is all just temporary. But this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. When that happens, right? When I trade this old jalopy in, and I get a new body. Oh, what a day that will be. That death is nothing to fear anymore. It's not the end, it's the beginning. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? It has none. So therefore, I live for Him. As imperfect as that is, the Bible says, I'm accepted in the Beloved. You know, I talked about every parent has a refrigerator that your kid draws a picture and you put it up on the fridge. At least my mom did. And they were so imperfect. Most of them, you couldn't tell what they were. A couple of years ago, I remember one of the Sneed girls came up to me and she made me a card. And it was just scribbled on one side and scribbled on the other. She came up and said, here you go. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I said, what is it? And she goes, this is you. Oh, thank you. What's this? Oh, that's my dog. I was like, oh. Some wax that's rubbed on a piece of paper. What's it worth? But she gave her best, and as any parent or anyone who's dealt with kids, those things are precious. The other day I was out checking the mail and came up through, and there's this little, it was almost like a dandelion. I don't know what it is. I talked to Lee. I don't know what this is. It's a little flower that popped up about this big. Came out of a root, so I don't know what it was. So I picked it and went inside and put on my cute face and said, here you go, honey. And gave my wife a flower from the yard. She didn't break out an itch, so it's not poison ivy or nothing like that. It was a sweet little gesture. Here you go, honey. As we come to God and say, this is all I have, God, just take me. Not much. He says, come and see. He says, that's just what I've always wanted. Doesn't matter how broken, doesn't matter how wounded. See, all that's behind. And if you ever doubt, he says, come and see. For all eternity, these are the scars. And I pray as we wrap this up, that this is our declaration. Once again, Revelation around the throne. In light of all these things, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Our God is worthy of it all. Because He lives, because of all these things, we can come boldly before His throne of grace. Doesn't matter how broken, doesn't matter our scars, because He paid for them all. Your scars will be gone. Hallelujah. He says, come and see. And He chooses to keep those scars for all eternity so that we will never forget of His love for you, of what He did for you, and hallelujah, how worthy He is to be praised. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. Lord, I am just amazed at Your goodness and Your care for us. Lord, I pray that there's someone here who doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior. They will truly believe that You died on the cross for their sins. Lord, they are guilty. I was guilty. And You died on the cross to pay their penalty. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That we come to You. And we may stumble, we may fall, but Lord, You are right with us each step of the way. You hold us with the hands that are scarred as a reminder of all You've done, all You are. Lord, we think of the promise of healing, of wholeness that You bring. Lord, until that day, help us live for You. We ask this in Your name. And all God's people.